I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. The civil war in Syria is at a stalemate. Neither side can defeat the other. That's not my opinion. It's the view of the Syrian government, as expressed today by Deputy Prime Minister Kadri Jamil. He was interviewed by Jonathan Steele of The Guardian newspaper in Britain. Jamil also sketched out conditions for stalled peace talks in Geneva. Here's a clip made available by The Guardian.
Of course, the immediate ceasefire and putting an end to external intervention, having a ceasefire, and the launching of the peaceful political process.
Jonathan Steele is on the line now from Damascus. Assad seemed to be getting stronger and stronger. How big an admission by his deputy prime minister is this, that neither side can win this war?
Well, I think it's very important because it reinforces the argument that there has to be a political settlement. So I think it's an important admission of reality.
And why does Deputy Prime Minister Kadri Jamil think the war is in a stalemate?
Well, he doesn't think that either side can defeat the other, that there might be an advance here or an advance there, but not more than just a tactical shift in the position. Strategically, neither side can win.
So what are the prospects for those peace talks? I mean, are they kind of set up almost to fail from the get-go?
Well, I think the problem is, as the government has always said it will attend. What was important about what Kadri Jamil told me was that he set out a kind of agenda from the government point of view. They've always said they would attend. The problem is that the rebels have so far refused to go unless Assad first resigns. Well, that's a precondition that's not going to be accepted. So it really requires the rebels' sponsors and allies, particularly the United States, to tell them that they just have to go to Geneva and come up with a reasonable delegation and some sort of platform for negotiation.
And I gather that Jamil's own party backtracked a little from his comments. What did they not like?
Well, after my interview was published, his people tried to argue that the entire interview had been just speaking in the name of his party rather than in the name of the government. But, the tape recording of his words, to me, don't bear that out. That's not what he said. And when I asked him about Geneva specifically, it was quite clear I was referring to, what would the government be proposing, and he gave the answers that I mentioned about ceasefires and stopping the armed intervention. He never broke in and said, I can't speak for the government. All I can do is speak for my own party. So, he's trying to move the goalposts after, the ball's already gone into the net.
Jonathan, I can't let you go without asking you what Damascus is like as diplomats are scrambling to figure out the conflict and an end to it. I mean, what do you do in Damascus on a Friday night right now?
Well, I'm actually right now, as we speak, in the Christian quarter of the old city, and it's packed with people strolling around and going to cafes and restaurants, and, Friday's the day off here. It's equivalent to the Saturday night in the United States, and, the streets are packed, even though, of course, there have been mortars that have landed in this area of the city, quite a number in the last few weeks. So there is always the menace of that. But people are relaxing, and it's much more pleasant in the evenings because of the heat in the daytime. There is this deceptive impression in central Damascus that life goes on as normal. And then you find that in many of these houses, they're overcrowded with internally displaced families who've been bombed out of their places in the more outlying parts of the city. So it's you have to get behind the facade to see the real horror of what's going on here.
Strange scene indeed. Jonathan Steele of the British newspaper The Guardian speaking with us from Damascus. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.